My name is Scott Challoner, and this is the Leaders Council podcast for the people who run the country and the people who keep the country running. You join us here on a very cool wintry day here in the capital, but I am delighted to say that joining me on the show to hopefully add some warmth and brightness to affairs is Matthew Pomeroy, director at Foresight Group. Foresight Group is a leading independent infrastructure and private equity investment manager. Matthew, real pleasure having you on the show with us today, and by all means, thank you for taking the time to join us.
Thanks very much for having me.
It's a real pleasure, Matt. Thank you. Now, just for those listeners tuning in today that might not be familiar with yourself and Foresight Group, I've obviously given a brief overview of what you do. You're sort of involved in independent infrastructure, private equity investment, but do feel free to sort of expand upon that.
Yeah, so I'm a director out of the Foresight team in Manchester, and I've been at Foresight for 6 years now. Foresight manages circa 8 billion of assets on a global basis, but the area that I sit in and focus on is the private equity side of the business. And we have investments in about 120 UK-based SMEs and are very much focused on investing in regional businesses to help support and grow those from a variety of different funds.
Yeah, sounds fantastic. And for those unfamiliar with the concept of sort of FS investment, private equity investment, what is it that that involves?
So, as I mentioned, we have a variety of different funds that we invest from, right through from EIS funding through to VCTs, which is retail investments, through to our buyout funds, which is typically institutional investments. And we look to support businesses right through from early stage through to, you know, helping founders realize their goals and their strategies over a period of, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5 years, however long that might take. And that might be helping them with, I would say, international expansion. It might be helping them with job growth. It might be helping them launch new products into new regions. It might be as simple as supporting them with their financial KPIs and their reporting requirements. But what we try and do is you know, not to take over the running of a business in the slightest, but it's to work collaboratively with a management team to help them achieve their goals, whatever those goals might be.
Yeah, certainly makes sense from my perspective. And at a time where, you know, like the UK government is certainly talking up the need to kind of level up the country and sort of take the sole economic powerhouse status away from London and the Southeast and spread that wealth all over the UK, regional investment is going to become very much more important over the coming months and years, isn't it?
Without a doubt, yes. And I think from a Foresight point of view, we take very much a regional approach with our investments. So, you know, we look to raise funds locally from local government pension funds, and we look to establish offices and grow teams within particular regions. So, you know, we have offices now in Manchester, where I sit, in Cambridge, in Nottingham, in Edinburgh, and we look to develop out from there and build a network with local businesses and with the local advisor network to try and support, you know, whatever that might be, whether it's job growth, whether it's, you know, social impact, whether it's health issues, all of which are directives from the Levelling Up agenda. And I think, you know, one of the things that's key to Foresight is our sort of ESG principles, namely five sort of key areas that we look at focusing on within a business and when we're supporting those regional businesses, which is the awareness, the environmental, the social engagement, the governance and the third party interactions of those businesses. And we look to sort of monitor businesses in that way and help support them and ensure that they are reinvesting back into the regions they're from. And as I say, you know, what is that to drive? It's to drive that local job growth. It's to improve the local health conditions, whatever that might be.
And I suppose there's a great amount of satisfaction to be gained from that, isn't there, from a personal perspective, sort of helping SMEs really exercise that impact in their local areas and sort of drive that kind of regional prosperity, that sort of real social impact that you talked about before?
It is, yeah. I mean, we're not forgetting here that we are a private equity house, so you know there is a drive towards the financial returns that we can deliver from the investments as well. But the ESG is becoming more and more a focus of not just us but others as well. And I think when you can see a business, I work with a healthcare business in the Northwest. When you can see that it's grown from 100 staff through to 200 staff, and it's had tens of thousands of people go through its program on a community basis regarding either weight loss or smoking cessation, whatever it might be. That's, I suppose that's it, where you see the real impact of the investments that you're making.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely as well. And just given sort of how the pandemic over the last couple of years has really heightened awareness of sort of climate change, and we're talking about that as the next sort of big challenge we're all going to face, have you noticed that a lot of the sort of clients that you're working with are sort of very aware of where their investments are going in terms of, is it going to have a beneficial environmental impact? I mean, is it going into sustainable projects? Is that something you see?
I think we assess every business on that basis when we look to make an investment. So if it isn't on their agenda, we like to think it is on the agenda during the course of our investment life cycle, and that is improved throughout that investment life cycle. So I think it's when we're meeting a management team, you want to ensure that they have one eye on that, but it may be just in one area, or it may be not as well developed as it could be. And I think that's where we can provide that support and the learnings from other businesses that we've worked with to really help put that front of mind with those management teams and those shareholders. And as I say, it's one of those things that we monitor very closely on a monthly basis, and as I say, look to work with the management team to try and improve that as part of the investment alongside the financials. And I think if you're improving both of those together, then you have a very well positioned business to support to support that local community.
Mm, exactly right. And just for some of those younger viewers that might be tuning into this podcast today, and we do tend to have quite a lot of them, what a lot of young people are doing, they're looking to kind of get into sort of investment and get into business, as they tend to look at growth investing as something to pursue, and they're sort of putting money into sort of growth stocks for sort of young or small companies, and hopefully expecting to increase their returns at an above average rate compared to sort of their industry sector or the overall market. What experiences have you had of sort of growth investing through sort of Foresight? Is that something that you're also actively involved with?
Yes, as I said, we have some early stage funds. So we have EIS funding, we have VCT funding, and we have we manage part of the Midlands Engine Investment Fund as well, which are all funds that are dedicated towards sort of earlier stage and growth capital investments. I think with these, it's about being able to support, appreciate that some of these earlier stage investments or the growth investments can, particularly the growth stocks, can move up and down very quickly. And it's about being able to support that investment through those ups and downs. And I appreciate that if you're supporting a growth stock, you might not want to follow on. But I think from a private equity point of view, that's part of it. It's supporting a business over a period of years, and ensuring that you're providing with the right amount of capital to help them achieve their goals. And I'll say, I suppose one of the great things about our job is you get to spend time with those management teams, and you're able to help and support them on the strategy. So it's not just making the investment. And I think that's something that's very satisfying about the role we have.
Yes, I can certainly imagine so. I mean, it's that kind of collaboration, that almost networking, isn't it? And there is a lot to be gained from sort of approaching others. I mean, when you are looking to invest, I mean, it's important to recognize that, you know, you're not actually alone in doing so. It's not all guesswork. You can sort of approach people, you can seek advice. And I suppose for somebody who is looking to sort of start their own business or is looking to invest, I suppose going out and networking, seeking sort of the right advice from the right people, I mean, that's one of the best things that you can do early on, isn't it?
I think that's invaluable. And I think, you know, a lot of the opportunities that we look at come from the networks that many of us have built over the last 10, 15, 20 years. But I think, you know, the best businesses we see are those that have gone and sought help early and gone and sought professional advice early or brought on a non-exec director or just speak to people that have been there and done it before, because many, many businesses experience the same pitfalls that others have. And if someone's there to guide you or answer your question for you, then no doubt you won't fall at the first, second or third hurdle, because you'll know what to expect. I think there's probably nothing worse than going it alone, particularly when there's a lot of people out there willing to help, a lot of networks out there that are willing to help, and even the likes of, you know, speaking to us or another private equity house and just getting some hints and tips on what you might look to do regarding if you're pulling together a business plan, for example. What does an investor look for in that business plan? You know, what does an investor look for in, you know, how detailed do you have to go into your financials? Do you need to build a financial model? You know, all of these sort of things that if someone's starting out that they may not know, they may not have thought of, they may have thought of it all, but there's no harm in asking for that advice. And a lot of it is, many people will be willing to give it because they enjoy it.
Exactly right. I mean, it's not always going to sort of cost you going and seeking that advice. I think you're absolutely right in saying that. And it is something for anybody with that big idea who's looking to start out to sort of really consider. And another thing as well, you mentioned that businesses do tend to go through sort of the same pitfalls. And, you know, where those sort of pitfalls and those setbacks do come, I suppose it's important as well that you don't sort of view those failures, if we call them that, as a terminal thing. It's about sort of learning from those experiences and using that to sort of self-develop and move forward in a positive way. And sometimes I think, especially in this country, we can kind of shy away from failures and setbacks somewhat, can't we?
Yeah, without a doubt. I think, you know, no one gets it right every time. And, you know, that's part of investing. We invest in a portfolio for a reason. You know, we've got 120 plus businesses across the different funds we manage at the moment, across a variety of sectors, a variety of different stages of investment. And the reason for that is to spread risk and spread our investors' risk. Because no doubt that during every business, there'll be lumps and bumps in the road that we have to navigate. And that could be for anything from needing a refinance to a product not working to, you know, a sales director not working out to whatever it might be. But I think as long as you're able to take those on board and, as you said, learn from those experiences that you've had, then you'll only come out stronger at the other side.
That's exactly right. And when we talk about sort of lumps and bumps in the road, I mean, we've probably had one of the biggest over the last couple of years, haven't we, with the COVID-19 pandemic. And now it seems that economically, we've kind of come out of the other side of that. We're sort of removing ourselves from the acute phase of it all and looking toward the challenges of the post-COVID world. And as we start to sort of see the mist clear and we start to really see those challenges come into view, I'd be interested to understand as well, Matt, what sort of projects, what aims and ambitions are on the horizon for Foresight Group over this new year and beyond.
And I think picking up on that, I think, you know, part of this sort of post-COVID era is going to be really understanding what the COVID impact really has been over the last sort of couple of years, because every business has experienced it in a different way. And some businesses within the portfolio, we've thought, they do fantastically well, and others we thought haven't, and it's not been the case. So I think there's a bit of understanding there about the recovery from COVID and the impact it's had. I think from a foresight point of view, you know, there's a number of trends that we're seeing across our portfolio that we will have to navigate over the next 12 months. And that includes things like, you know, we've got a rising inflation rate. We've got shipping costs going through the roof. Mm-hmm. We've got a number of businesses experiencing supply chain issues off, you know, with post-Brexit changes. And I think the other thing as well is with a new sort of almost working from home environment across a lot of things, we're experiencing recruitment challenges as well across the market, across a number of the portfolio companies as there's this, you know, with people working from home, there's people are able to pick up jobs further afield. So I think we've got a number of challenges that we need to work through at Foresight and others. But I think, yeah, it should be an exciting year ahead for us. We've got more funds under management than we've ever had. We've got a hopefully, yeah, we're constantly fundraising and looking to grow our team and our office base across the UK, and always excited to work with new businesses as well. So I think it should be an exciting 12 months.
Hopefully so, certainly. And I think you did raise a really important point there as well, in the sense that some businesses, of course, have been adversely affected by COVID, but you know, there are others out there, given the nature of what they do, that have sort of capitalized on the opportunity. And that just sort of shows, doesn't it, that amid all of the tragedy that something like a pandemic brings, you know, there are always opportunities there. There's always a silver lining in the dark cloud, and business and industry somewhere along the line is always going to be in a position to capitalize. And, you know, that just shows how adaptable business really is.
Yeah, that's right. And I think the businesses that have fared the best are those that acted quickly. You know, were able to sort of change direction or launch that new product or double down on something. But it was that monitoring the cash flow, acting quickly, utilizing government support, or whatever it might have been. I think those are the businesses that have fared well. And as you say, I think a lot will come out stronger because of it, and hopefully have taken, you know, I'd say taken advantage of a number of opportunities that have taken place over the last 12, 24 months as well. And I know, you know, across our portfolio, I've said 120 businesses, we like to think that most have fared well, and we'll see growth across 2022.
Hopefully so. And like I say, as well as obviously the businesses that you work with enjoying that growth, hopefully we'll see some of those ambitions of your own at Foresight being borne out over the next 12 months and beyond as well. And it would be fantastic actually to sort of catch up in future at some point, Matthew, and just kind of see how things are panning out with that, because there are always a great many variables in this, but hopefully it will be sort of a real era of success moving forward now that we are out of COVID, hopefully.
We'd like to think so, wouldn't we? Let's hope for no more lockdowns and less testing. That'd be a great year, wouldn't it? And we can all get away on holiday.
It would be brilliant. And I suppose we're all sort of looking ahead with a bit of optimism now that the Prime Minister has hinted that all restrictions could be gone by the end of February. So let's just keep our fingers crossed that might be the case. Otherwise, Matthew, it's been an immense pleasure welcoming you onto the show today to discuss some of these subjects. It's been really enlightening for myself as well. And do take care and stay safe with all still going on as well.
Thanks very much for having me. Really enjoyed it.
Likewise as well, and I'm sure the listeners also share that sentiment, and I do hope that everybody tuning in did enjoy the interview with Foresight Group's Matt Pomeroy just as much as I. And if you are listening in today and you do own your own business or own organisation, and you feel that you have your own story of success and innovation to share with us here at the Leaders Council, then by all means we also want to hear from you. So why not also apply to be on the show via leaderscouncil.co.uk/apply. Until next time, to all of our regular listeners, please do take care and goodbye.